watch it. I might call to order our city council, successor agency, housing authority, joint regular meeting. And we're going to have a closed session. Would you please call roll?
Council agency authority member Taylor?
Here.
Council agency authority member Van?
Here.
Council agency authority member Warren?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Vice Chairman Ramirez?
Here.
And Mayor Chairman Shaver.
Thank you. Is there anybody want to comment from the public?
Have none, sir.
Okay, we don't see anybody here?
No, sir.
Here they come. They're coming late. Okay, so we'll go ahead and adjourn to closed session. I mean, recess.
Yes, recess to closed session at 6:01 p.m.
Okay, I'm going to reconvene our regular scheduled city council meeting for this evening. We just came out of closed session. Madam Attorney?
Here, there's nothing to report.
Okay, thank you. Please call roll for our council meeting.
Mr. Mayor, council agency authority member Taylor?
Here.
Council agency authority member Van?
Here.
Council agency authority member Warren?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Vice Chairman Ramirez?
Here.
And Mayor Chairman Shaver.
Here. If you'll please all join me in the pledge. It's going to be led tonight by former Mayor Al Athens, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Under our special presentations and awards, this evening we are going to recognize and honor Dr. Gene Wilkins. Normally we don't take the time to read the proclamation, but considering who that gentleman was and how we've all worked with him over the years, I think it's important for us to kind of rehash or go through the history of what he's accomplished and the wonderful things that he's done for the different organizations in not only the city of Stanton, but also in the county of Orange. So this is a proclamation from the city of Stanton for Dr. Gene Wilkins. Dr. Gene Wilkins was a loving husband, companion, soulmate, and friend, a wonderful dad, grandpa, and a great grandfather. He had been in the practice of optometry for over 20 years. It is estimated in his long career that he has provided 35,000 free optometry exams and glasses for those that could not afford them. He was a graduate of Southern California College of Optometry. Dr. Wilkins' postgraduate work included extensive education in the area of vision-related learning problems. I think that's why he had a special tie with the kids in our neighborhoods in our city. Dr. Wilkins was a member of the College of Vision Development Ophthalmic Extension Program, the National Academy Sports Vision, and was a consultant of the Lions Foundation of Southern California. He was also certified to administer pre- and post-operative LASIK care, as well as to treat infections and remove foreign bodies from eyes. Dr. Wilkins had a passion for helping patients of all ages, seeing clearly to maintain their best eye health care, overcome vision-related learning. Dr. Wilkins had also as a consultant for the Cypress Elementary, Magnolia, and Anaheim Union High School. He frequently spoke on vision-related topics in the community, in organizations, and in schools. Dr. Wilkins began his Lions career in 1961 and has since served as a Lion for 61 years, joining the Stanton Lions Club in 1999. And during his tenure, he also served many roles, including being president of the Lions Club. Gene has supported the Stanton community, faithfully living up to the Lions motto, "We Serve." It was Gene's last Stanton community event that was his defining moment. I remember that well on February 2022. We passed out those flyers for the free exams at the food drive I had and we gave out about 400 of them. And that probably every one of them showed up for their free test. He championed the Lions' first free vision screening event for the city of Stanton, a program that he has envisioned of providing residents for some time, and I'm sure that program has helped so many of our kids and that needed to have that help over the years. During the free vision screening event, Dr. Wilkins and two other optometrists provided 100 eye tests, and each of those 100 patients were given a free pair of glasses. Patients of Dr. Gene Wilkins regard him as a professional with a big heart, being kind to patients, extremely knowledgeable, and established with a great relationship with parent and doctor. And before I read this last, I just want you to know that all of us that have had an opportunity to work with him, to help him, and to do the wonderful volunteer work, these are things that we'll always be able to cherish and remember in his name. Now, therefore, let it be resolved that I, David John Chauver, mayor of the city of Stanton, on behalf of my colleagues up here, do hereby officially commend Dr. Gene Wilkins for a loving husband, a dad, a grandpa, a great-grandfather, and friend who deserves a special place in the hearts of those lives that he touched. He leaves a grateful community for his service and outstanding leadership in education. The City Council of Stanton and community pays tribute tonight with him and for him, and we give our gratitude and respect for him always. At this time, if I could have the family member please come up to the front here, we'd like to give the award at this time. Let's go, guys.
So at this time, the family can come up, but Mr. Ristrom, would you like to speak now or after? Yes? Mr. Mayor, if it's okay with you, Mr. Ristrom would like to speak a few words on behalf of the Wilkins family.
Okay, that's great.
Thank you, Mayor Chauver, council, and staff, for helping us honor one of the finest Lions has ever served. As Mayor Chauver had mentioned, Dr. Gene had been a Lion for 61 years. He joined us in 1999. The Lion's motto is "We serve," and he did that every day for decades. As a Lion, Dr. Gene served a long list of Stanton nonprofits, both financially and with its own hand. Stanton Boys and Girls Club, the Stanton Community Foundation, Joyful Child Foundation, it just scratches the surface. As a Lion, he served the city. He gave of himself to many city-sponsored Stanton events over the decade. And ultimately, Doc gave his life serving this city, the city of Stanton. And for this, he's our hero. This year marks Stanton Lions Club's 75th anniversary. That's the year 1945 for those doing their math ahead right now. We really love serving Stanton. Mayor Chauver, it is our honor to carry that torch today as we serve. We serve our Stanton community in the same giving spirit as did Dr. Gene Wilkins. Thank you, Mayor Chauver.
At this time, I'm going to open the podium up for anyone else who would like to say anything at this time. You're more than welcome to come up. You don't have to have a speech or anything, but I wanted to make that available to family members or members of the Lions Club, Community Foundation. So,
I wanted to say on behalf of my husband, thank you very much. Even though he lived in Cyprus, practiced in Cyprus, this was his home. This was his heart, this place. He loved everything about it. He loved being the Lions Club. He loved volunteering for all the city events. And he'd be embarrassed by this honor, but I know he would be very proud. So thank you very much.
Mrs. Wilkins, if you would have your family members meet us up here, we would really appreciate that. We can make the presentation. We can get a picture for your memories. Thank you.
I'm too sure they're not going to see me.
They want to sit. Oh, boy, I can just stand there. So bring it
on. Not for long, buddy. Welcome to stand on the other side of me if you'd like.
It's only a couple more months. Don't worry.
We're going to miss you, Riga.
Right back at you.
But we can go to Iga's house right now.
Wow.
Sweet.
Wow. How he bit me. Wow.
Organizations and Stan that just has to share everybody.
Al's lost some weight.
Who?
Al Ethan's.
Oh.
Al.
Yeah.
Come on up, B.
Right.
Come on, guys.
Come on, come on. You want to move down anymore?
Yeah, we'll
see. Isn't John a lion? He should get in here. Oh, sorry. not yet. Okay. That's all right. It's up to him. That's okay.
Come on, Al.
Right in the middle,
dear. Right in the middle, sir. He's familiar up there. I don't know.
Yeah. Spent a couple hours together here.
Okay, fine.
That way you can buffer between Rigo and Gary.
Oh, it's right over there.
Perfect. I put my arm around it.
Oh, there's more. Oh, thank you.
Good to see you again.
Good to see you.
Neighbor. Hey, your neighbor.
How are you?
I understand you're retiring.
Yes, I am.
It's been here how many years?
Nine. Right?
It's a long time.
It has. Blink of an eye.
Should have had cake and cookies tonight.
Good. Right? Should have, would have.
Yeah. I'll always have the
handful.
You know you want it, didn't you? Oh.
Ask for a part.
Ate all your dove bars last week.
As you should. they're there for.
That was nice.
Keep that chart.
You're so funny.
Hey, Montana.
I'd be a pointer. That's what we should get the jobs.
I was hoping it'd be
jobs.
Hey,
I saw the same.
Kind of.
Patricia, that was
pointed.
A really good job.
Yeah,
she
did an amazing job.
Assuming I win the election.
You can write my epitaph.
Get somebody to create a write-in campaign.
Write-in campaign?
To beat you?
You never know.
Why does it even matter? It's an alphabet. It's the one that's used right there
when you know them.
Oh, you mean your bad luck. Thanks. Okay, we'll continue on with a presentation. From we have Chief, is Chief Dozy here?
Yes, he is. Dorman.
Oh, Dorman. Come on up, Chief. Yeah, well, you know, you have us.
We'll get the word out, I promise.
By the way, it's nice seeing you because now you're on your way to Florida.
No, I'm not going to be going to Florida this time.
You better stay here. You know, that's a 100-year-old storm. They've never had one that big.
I know. We have my cousin lives there in Tampa, so he and his wife are pretty concerned about flooding.
Well, how about this? My granddaughter, my daughter, my son-in-law, and my two grandkids live in Charlotte Bay, which is the center of the hurricane. They battened down the hatches, got in their car, and headed to the northeast.
Good. Yeah. I'm happy that they evacuated and heeded the warning.
It's ironic because the last problem they had there when they were going flying back, the OCFA was on the same plane, the rescuers going back. So I assume that it's supposed to be really bad. We probably will get involved again. So
There's potential. Our task force is actually fifth up right now in the national rotation.
Mm-hmm.
We do have two overhead personnel that are deployed with the incident support team of FEMA back there. They first deployed to Puerto Rico for Fiona, and then they relocated to mainland for the hurricane. So it's possible we might see some additional overhead personnel go out.
I'm going to give you a proclamation on Fire Prevention Week, which is October 9th through the 15th, which is coming up. I know that we'll get on our website, and we'll also get everything out to people on sprinklers, you know, alarm systems, the ones for carbon monoxide. But at this time, I'd like for you to give a little bit of background about what the OCFA is going to be doing during our Fire Prevention Week and how we can help you.
Perfect. Well, thank you, Honorable Mayor, Council, City Staff, and citizens of Stanton. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to accept this proclamation and recognition of National Fire Prevention Week. National Fire Prevention Week, it actually commemorates the Great Chicago Fire of 1871, which just killed, I think, over 250 personnel, left over 100,000 people homeless, and damaged over 17,400 structures. So every year, the National Fire agencies come together during the week of October 9th, the week of October 9th through the 15th, to recognize as our Fire Prevention Week. This year, the focus of Fire Prevention Week is Fire Can't Wait, Plan Your Escape. So we're focusing really on those safe practices in your home as far as creating and practicing a fire escape safety plan. Rehearse it with your family members. Ensure you have working smoke detectors in your household. We recommend having one in every sleeping quarters, one outside the sleeping quarters, and at least one per floor in your household, as well as we recognize the dangers of fires in the houses. So traditionally, about every year we see about 4,000 deaths due to residential structure fires and over 2,000 serious injuries. And what we've also found is through our research and through data tracking, homes with working smoke detectors more than doubles your chance of survival. So that's what we're really focusing on this year. Fire Prevention Week, this year we're going to be celebrating, besides some of the things you talked about, like smoke detectors in your household, having fire extinguishers available, make sure you're trained and you know how to use those, and those escape plans. We're also going to be, happy to announce that this year we're going to be bringing back our open house to all of our local fire stations. So on October the 15th, We'd like to welcome you and the citizens of Stanton to come down to Fire Station 46 on Pacific Street. Between the hours of 10 o'clock and 1 p.m., we'll be hosting our annual open house. And it's a chance for us to interact with the public, those opportunities to educate them, let the people see the fire stations, how kind of like a day in the life of a firefighter, what it's like in the fire stations, and also we'll have some educational brochures and handouts related to the Fire Prevention Week. So we'd like to open that up. And then this spring, we'll be doing our annual open house at our regional headquarters there in Irvine. And that's where we do a larger display. We'll have one of each type of our apparatus there. Our helicopter will be there. We'll put on live fire demonstrations and then also other demonstrations with some of our specialty programs in the fire department. So once that date becomes firm, I'll make sure I communicate that with you to also share with your citizens. So on behalf of the Orange County Fire Authority, thank you for this opportunity and speaking about Fire Prevention Week and receiving this proclamation.
Thank you. At this time, I'm going to have Mayor Pro Tem Ramirez come down, and he will read the bottom, and then this is from all of us. My pleasure. Okay, at this time, if it's okay with you folks, let's go ahead with this. Consent calendar, any items wish to be pulled? Go ahead.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to pull 9L.
Okay, great. And I would like to pull 9K. Anybody else like to hear anything? Is there any request from the audience to speak on any of these items?
Mr. Mayor, we have none.
Okay, any written communications on any of the items?
We have none.
Okay. Any staff members?
We have none.
Okay, good. All right, move the balance. Do I have a second?
Second.
Roll call.
We have a motion by Councilmember Taylor, a second by Mayor Pro Tem Ramirez, and I'll perform the roll call vote. Council Agency Authority Member Taylor?
Yes.
Council Agency Authority Member Warren?
Yes.
Council Agency Authority Member Van?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Vice Chairman Ramirez?
Yes.
And Mayor Chairman Schauer.
Thank you. Go ahead, Clerk. You're up.
Mr. Mayor, we will start with item 9K, which is approval of First Amendment extending the contract with Absolute International Security for facility rental supervision and security services. At this time, your questions, Mr. Mayor? Item?
Yeah, is there someone for the company here?
Not this evening, sir, but we do have staff here available to answer any questions that you may have.
Okay, what's this contract worth for 3 years?
I will divert that
to $150,000, right?
I'm going to divert that to Ms. Sebovedia, and she'll get that information set up for you.
Okay,
one moment, please.
Before we do, I would think that if I was a company that was interested in getting a job with a city or government agency for $150,000, that I would be in the audience so they could answer our questions rather than having staff do it. That's always been a real burr with me because they're the people that are going to be providing the service. I like to put a face to my $150,000 check. So anyway, whatever. Go ahead, Cindy. I know you'll do a good job.
Thank you, sir. Mayor, the amendment tonight is to extend for one more year. This is for security services that are paid by the rental clients that use our banquet hall. So if they request a certain amount of hours, we require a supervisor. If they are going to serve alcohol, there's an additional requirement for a security guard. And there is no impact to the general fund. Annually, we're anticipating about $45,000.
Did we put this out to bid?
Yes. So we did a proposal 2 years ago, and this agency was selected. This is an extension after the first year. So we're extending for one more year.
Okay, so we haven't put it out recently.
I believe it went out in 2021.
I do know that we have a couple of new security companies in town and some outside of town. How did you feel about the rate? Because there was a rate increase, right? What was the rate increase?
It was about 8% in line with just CPI is what they recommended, yes.
Okay, the only other comment I'm going to make is I have had some complaints with the service, especially early on Sunday mornings mm-hmm. with the use of the facility. You know, sometimes they show up, sometimes they wouldn't show up. Have you been able to remedy that, you think?
We have had some issues as we were onboarding them. That was one of them a few times that we brought to our attention. We have a frequent user on Sunday mornings that there was tardiness involved. So we are in contact with the agency. I don't believe they've had the same issue. I believe it's been remedied. But if there's anything new, we're happy to discuss with them.
Is the contract such is that if they continue to provide poor service, that we would be able to seek services from another company? Is that
absolutely, yes. If we're unhappy with the service, we would explore that option. Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions, guys? Okay, I'll move it.
Second.
Madam Clerk.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, item passes 5-0. Mr. Mayor, we'll now move on to item 9L, award of contract to All City Management Services for crossing guard services. Ms. Warren, your questions.
Before we just jump into another contract with the crossing guard service company, I would think it would be in our best idea if we met with the school district and talked to them and see if we can split that contract or at least a percentage thereof. I mean, there's only probably one school that's in our city. And so I think that the school should be able to bear some of the cost of the crossing guard. So I was hoping that staff could meet with and discuss this with the schools and see if we can come to some agreement with them, whether it's 50-50 or they'll pay for all of it or whatever we could negotiate. And that would just, you know, save us some money.
Thank you. Anybody else would comment? Okay, I'll comment too. Thank you for that. I was going to bring it up. Of every dollar we get in tax, 85 cents of it goes to the school. We get about 13 cents of every dollar. Now, most people don't know that. But we don't get very much of that property tax money. So that being said, since they're getting 85 cents on every dollar that goes out, and we're getting 13 cents, my question to you is, why are we paying for crossing guards? And so therefore, I'm not going to support this tonight until we get down to the fact that we need to find out who's doing what. This is just an extension, isn't it? Or is this an action? In other words, this will, until we, my question is, how pressing is this? Will we service be continued until we sign it or what?
We are currently on a month-to-month. The prior agreement had terminated, and we were working with them for contract negotiations. So we are on a month-to-month. We believe All City Management will continue honoring the month-to-month, but there's no guarantee because we're not under contract.
Okay, my next question is, what? I know that in some cities, they've increased at 25 to 50%. What was our percent increase?
The difference between what was budgeted in the adopted operating budget and the proposed contract service rates is $324.60.
How much?
$324.60 for year one.
Year one. Dollar day. That's
contingency. I don't understand that. Okay, so basically, We used to pay $90,000, or was it $50,000? We paid $50,000 a year, wasn't it? Do you remember?
That would be more than what the current contract is for.
Yeah,
the last time we reviewed this contract, we had talked about having some sort of observation to see if it was necessary to have box guards there. At the time, I remember it was kind of during COVID, so we couldn't really get good numbers. But if I were to remember correctly, those intersections all have the where you can push the button and then all have the countdown where the kids cross. And it wasn't clear whether or not it was still necessary. Whereas when we first had this crosswalk service, the flashing lights didn't exist, and now they do, and so maybe that need for a cross guard may be reduced. And so we could observe. We had talked about this before, but during COVID, we kind of paused it. We could observe whether or not those crosswalk services are that necessary for those intersections.
That might create a liability. It was an accident or something.
Yeah, well, and Hanson and Cerritos, and also the other two, they do have. We put a light on Dale, remember that? But the thing is that the kids, even though they're escorted by their parents, the Cerritos Knot intersection is horrible in the morning. I can't even get out of my driveway. So I think we do need them in some areas. My thing is, if they're getting 85 cents on a dollar, that's a good in to say, hey, you know, what's happening here? What are you guys doing with your 85 cents, you know? So who are we going to send with that wonderful task?
The city manager and the public safety director are happy to work on that and reach out to the schools and potentially the neighboring cities for cost-sharing options.
Okay. Could we possibly let the contract people know that we're okay with what they're offering because it seems reasonable? But we have a real concern about who's paying for it. Or we could go ahead and sign the contract and pay a monthly fee we could do that until we get a hold of the school district. Which way do you guys want to go? Any recommendations?
I think with CPI being the way it is, if they don't have a contract in place, just so we have those rates locked,
since
increase is pretty meager.
I agree.
So you want to go ahead and have the contract in place, and then we want to ask the money from the school district?
Real quick, the 137, that's excluding CPI adjustments, correct?
Yep.
Correct. We didn't want to build in any CPI adjustments. We wanted those to be considered by staff and or council, depending on the request.
Okay.
Don't you think it would give us more leverage if we didn't have the contract in place? Because they're just going to turn around and go, well, you're already contracted. Why should we help you?
Correct.
If we could do it rather quickly, I think just try to do the month-to-month for another month.
And their suits need to look at the contract anyway.
Yeah.
I go month-to-month.
And tell me, found a glitch in this, and we want to make sure it's covered. That's all. The glitch is who's paying for it.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
But if you pay for it, then where's the need?
Yeah, you have no leverage.
Yeah. Zero.
Okay. So that being said, any other discussion? Okay. Do I have a motion that somebody would like to make?
Let's clear it.
What would the motion, Carol? Go ahead.
I would like to make the motion that we negotiate with the neighboring school districts that these crossing guards address. Try to lower the cost of the services that we provide.
Are you looking to renew the three-year contract or go month to month?
I think upon further review of the contract, we go month to month for two more months, three more months, end of 2022, and hopefully everything will be resolved by then, and then we'll continue the annual contract.
Okay.
And we'll also have somebody observe to see if there's possible at those specific intersections.
A few years ago, is that a second?
I'll second it, yeah.
Okay, second for discussion. A few years ago, when we were having some financial woes, we actually had to have the school district pay for the crossing guards for a while, and they were able to do that without even batting an eye.
Right.
So I think the money's there, it's just a matter of let's shake loose with it. I think, again, our argument's very simple. You guys are getting the bulk of the tax dollar among the school districts. We're getting a pittance of it, and you would be able, so therefore we expect that service to be provided by you.
So, I'm sorry to interrupt, but keep me honest here. I don't remember, but historical perspective, did we not start paying for these the moment GG passed? Mm-hmm. The ones that sales
yeah,
tax?
So
prior to that, who was paying for it? I thought nobody was.
No, we the city's always paid for it. This is my recollection. The city's always paid Regal.
Okay.
1 year when I was mayor where we had to close parks and
right.
all the whole
9 years ago.
Stuff,
yeah.
That year the school's paid for it.
Yeah. But that was just because we couldn't do anything else.
Okay.
Anyway, I think historically, you know, we may have an argument, but I think the real argument is it's worth some money now. And the fact is you, Michelle, you have the breakdown of that tax dollar, don't you? I want to make sure I'm saying it.
It's on our budget book in brief. It's a two-page flyer that's on the city website, and it is about 14 cents of the dollar.
Thank
goes
you.
To the city.
Yeah, I don't want to go in and tell them something that's not. I thought I was pretty close to it, but if I'm going to, because that's quite a difference, and I think it's good that we can use that as a tool. Okay.
Yeah, and if it's been the last 8 years, then that's $1 million we paid into this thing.
Exactly. Yeah, but we always have to look at public safety as our top priority, unfortunately. That's the role of the government. But I think we can get a compromise on this one because we have a really good negotiator.
Wow, no pressure.
No pressure.
Mayor, may I make a staff request? If council would consider with the substitute motion, we would like to approach ECMS to see if they would be willing to go to a month-to-month contract because we would like to have contract provisions in place. And if they will not, then we will just go on the ad hoc month to month. But if we could try and pursue that so that it still gives us the leverage, but it gives us the security of the contract terms.
Okay, the maker of the motion, we make that amendment.
Yes.
Is there a second?
I second.
Okay, again, go ahead, Madam Clerk.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, we move with the amended motion.
One last question to this or comment. Do we know what other neighboring cities are doing? Are they paying for
I'm not familiar enough with other neighboring cities, but I can speak to my experience in my prior two cities. The cities paid for the crossing guard services.
Okay, great. Thank you.
I can also speak to my prior city, and this was a contention as well, city versus school district, but I think in Orange County it's historically been the city. I don't know if it's in other counties.
Well, that's because the people that make the decisions don't know how much money the school districts get of their tax dollars. I mean, how many people knew that today? Anybody knew that tonight? Well, not you, John. You don't count. You know everything. All right, good. We're ready to move on. We have no public hearings. We have no unfinished business. New business, revised city rules, council rules of order.
Mayor, I will open this up to Ms. Hannah.
Good evening, Honorable Mayor and members of the council. The city originally adopted the City Council Rules of Order in July 1997, subsequently amended the rules in 1998, 2004, and 2013. The purpose of the rules is to outline the process for City Council meetings and ensure that the operations of the City Council are managed in the most efficient and effective manner possible while promoting transparency. The table before you provides a summary of the substantive changes. Staff has provided a tracked changes version as attachment A to the staff report for a more detailed review. So I'll take the next few slides to walk through the changes. I can go through them all at once and then we can go back to any slides with any questions. So the first column identifies the section and subsection of the proposed change. The second column provides the page number as part of attachment A. The third column provides a summary of the revision. So the first change under the meetings section and notice of meetings appearing on page 7, the revision is updating the city website URL to the current URL, just the old one. The second recommended change is in section 2, order of business, and this change is made throughout this section on pages 9 through 14. It explicitly references the mayor and council members. You'll see this comment on a number of changes on the table. This is because the last time the council rules of order were approved was in 2013 prior to redistricting and direct election of mayor. The The third change is in Section 2, Order of Business, under 2.2, Agenda Deadline, appearing on page 9 in Attachment A. The recommended revision is to update the agenda report submission deadline to be 13 calendar days preceding the meeting at which the item is to be considered. Next is...
I have a question.
Sure.
If we have an item that has comes up after the agenda has been posted, if we get a 4/5 vote, right, we can add it.
That's
so
correct.
That would be able to facilitate any problems that we have with the 13 calendar days.
Any urgency item.
Now that's a posting requirement that will eliminate that. How about would that also supersede the 13-day submission requirement?
Can you? I'm sorry. Can you state that again? So
okay,
the,
we have two things that we can use the emergency amendment. Under Robert's Rules of Order or whatever it is, we can do that because it came up after the agenda was posted.
Correct.
So it takes care of that problem. However, we do have now a requirement that submission must be 13 days preceding a meeting. Can the something that come up that's an emergency with a 4/5 votes supersede our 13 calendar
yes.
days? That's what I was
yes.
concerned about.
That's correct.
Okay, that's fair.
The next item is under Section 2, Order of Business, under Section 2.5, Agenda Items by Mayor or Council Members, appearing on page 10. This would add the sentence, all items with significant budgetary impact, defined as an excess of $30,000 or capital improvement projects, will be agendized at the annual budget workshop. The next item is 4, Rules, Decorum, and Order. This shows up throughout on pages 18 through 20, and again, it's just making the explicit reference to mayor and council members. At the top of this screen, under Section 4, Rules, Decorum, and Order, under subsection 4.4, Decorum and Order from the Public. So this is a new legal requirement. So under Government Code Section 54957.95, we are now required to give a warning to any individual who disrupts a council meeting prior to being removed. So previously, the warning was not required. In addition, this Government Code section allows for members of the public to make certain demonstrations as long as such actions do not disrupt a council. Next on this slide, under Section 4, Rules, Decorum, and Order, or Subsection 4.10, Biennial Review of City Council Rules, appearing on page 20, this adds the provision that the City Council will review and revise the City Council Rules of Order as needed and at a minimum every 2 years. At the top of this screen, starting on Section 5, Addressing the Council, subsection 5.4, Written Correspondence, appearing on page 22, the revision is to clarify that the City Clerk is authorized to open any mail addressed to the City Council. Next, under Section 6, Motions, subsection 6.6, Motion to Table, appearing on page 25, the revision explicitly references the mayor and council members. Same for Section 7, Voting, subsection 7.4, Failure to Vote. Under Section 10, Processing of Council Mail, appearing on page 33, the revision again is to clarify that the City Clerk is authorized to open all mail addressed to the City Council and make explicit the reference to both the mayor and council members. And on the final slide, under Section 11, Use and Dissemination of the Official City Logo and Seal, shown throughout the section showing on pages 34 through 37, the revision includes the city seal in addition to the city logo and adds content related to the proper and improper use of the city logo and or city seal. That concludes my staff report. I'm available to answer any questions.
Great, Yuri.
Agenda item 2.5, page 10. I've looked it over. I think if the council agrees with that, we're giving up an awful lot of budget authority. That's
what? We're giving up what?
On page 10, we cannot, what she's saying is we cannot change the budget until we go into the budgeting process where we have all those meetings about the budget, unless it's $30,000 or under. I think that's unacceptable.
Well, we can agendize a budget item, or we can take something out of the budget, or we can add something to the budget anytime we want to do it.
That's not what that says.
It doesn't make a difference what that says. We as a council have the ability to have an item on the agenda dealing with the budget to where we can remove something from the budget and add something to the budget. I think this is something different because we're talking about an excess of $30,000. However, that's a good catch, but I still don't think that that's...
I don't think we should approve that. I
don't think that supersedes our
authority. We are the budgeters.
Well, let's ask our attorney.
Okay,
yes.
So fair enough, Gary. I appreciate you catching that because I was going to ask the same question. Maybe Michelle, how many of these instances have we had off budget cycle, 30,000 or greater?
And we're thinking about like COVID, the homeless situation where they were all over the streets. What else? The money we got from the federal government. There's a lot of things that happened in the last two and a half years.
Well, this item talks about budget items agendized by the mayor or the council members. So we have had off-cycle budgetary items that staff has brought back when we've asked for an appropriation for contract award. But it's my understanding this is talking about like if there's a city council agenda item where a new project or program is going to cost the city more than $30,000. Does the city manager want to clarify what that means?
That's correct. So this is intended not necessarily based on past performance, but to put standards and expectations in place for this council and future councils as well as staff. And the reasoning behind this is I won't say it's a common provision included in council rules of order.
Excuse me. Mavis, can you stick around for just a moment, please?
Poor Mavis.
You almost escaped.
Al, you can go home. No.
Let her go home.
No,
I'm just
like
teasing,
to
Al.
So
yeah. Thank you. I'm sorry for the interruption.
No, I'm sorry. I'll try and make this brief. So I won't say it's a common provision in council rules of order, but we are not unique in adding this. And the goal is to allow the staff, when the council goes through a very thorough, rigorous process to prepare a budget, adopt a budget, it's giving staff your workload plan for the year. And that allows us to identify the proper resources, staffing, timing throughout the year. And the concern is that there may be a future council that off-cycle will start presenting a lot of unanticipated items, which will impact the ability of the staff to produce on the priorities that were previously identified. So it's certainly not to limit the council's authority, and at any time the council, and it's certainly an emergency situation such as COVID, of course those are extraordinary circumstances, those would anyway supersede this provision, we would behave as such, so. But happy to take any council direction.
Gary, can I make a suggestion?
Sure.
Twice a year, during mid-budget study session.
And end of year budget. Now, I don't think we should have any restrictions on what the council would want, three council members want to do. I don't think we should have a restriction because
fair.
It creates extra work for staff. I don't want to create extra work for staff.
Right.
I want to keep things organized.
No,
if we don't need to add anything, that's fine. But I don't want one of our major jobs, major responsibilities, capped at $30,000.
Well, fair. But, I mean, I think that's what the study sessions are for, right?
But
so we could vet a bunch of stuff.
Things happen so quickly now. You're looking at something that would probably be fine 5 years ago. Now, things happen at hyperspeed. What if we have, what if nuclear weapons are suddenly used? What would
you don't have to worry about this if nuclear weapons. If it's a Holocaust, you don't have to worry about this.
No.
Okay? You don't. But you
no,
don't.
But I mean oil, the economy. I mean, there's so many things that we do not know what's going to happen in the future.
We don't.
That this is just not needed. I think the council has enough responsibility to not create extra work for staff unless it was extremely important. I think this is over-managing the council.
Okay, two things. Michelle, to your earlier point, we haven't had a lot of these, right? There are things that come up, but not council-initiated that we're able to pivot and work through.
I think that's the crux of the section of the rules of order is the council-initiated issue. So
right.
Things of the economy and things like that, you know, staff would be bringing items for city council consideration.
Correct. Okay. And then,
so I think the purpose, like the city manager was saying, was just to set priorities during our budget process and prioritizing the city's general fund dollars to what those priorities are.
Fair.
The thunder of the presentation.
And no, perfect.
Well, is staff going to be held to that? Can staff make a request for $50,000?
To the council.
Yeah, you can shoot it down. Absolutely. They could always do that. I mean, this isn't shackling anybody.
This is shackling us.
No,
it's
no.
taking some of our power, our responsibility, what's in the city charter, I'm sure. I think we have to have complete freedom when it comes to the budget.
Well,
I mean, we're the electeds.
No, I know, but the purpose of creating a budget is to stay within certain
and
numbers.
I want to do that. I just want the flexibility that if something comes up and 3 out of 5 members of the council, and probably it would be 5, would agree to something, that we're not shackled by something that is totally unnecessary.
Why don't we do that? Why don't we? Okay, Gary, why don't we do this? See if this will surprise. Let's say an emergency comes up to where we have to do drastic cuts or we have to shift money around.
Right.
Let's just say it takes a three votes to waive that in an emergency situation to make a budget adjustment.
Well, then I want that put in there.
I mean, I'm just saying that would cover us. That way we'll give
I don't think we need this. I think we're responsible.
Well, the reason is, I tell you why it's there, because the staff does not want to, every once in a while, somebody wants to come up and spend some money, and it takes staff time.
No, I understand that.
And it's not in the budget.
But I don't think we're doing that.
No, Gary, you're absolutely right. But I think to the city manager's presentation, she said future councils. I think the 5 of us are completely fine and we're on board. But we have no idea what these seats are going to look like 2-4 years from now. We don't.
But we don't have to know that.
There's turnover in these seats, by the way.
That's fine, but that would be their decision. I don't think you can take away power from the city council on budget. I mean, if you want to, I just think that is a terrible idea.
Gary, how about this? How about we allow it, but maybe we cap it at, maybe we increase it to 50,000 with 4/5 votes?
No.
So no, you just
I don't think we can change that.
Hold on. Let me ask. Let's say we have to cut $1 million out of the budget, and it's not. And we, our next meeting is not for a certain, months away. So how do we handle that?
Well, staff would bring that to you.
Right.
We wouldn't hold that for the budget if we had to cut $1 million, and as soon as we knew, if we couldn't even wait till the next council meeting, we'd call an emergency meeting and bring it to the council.
So quarterly sales tax projections come out. We realize that our slice is $1 million less than what we thought. Councils bring it, staff is bringing it to us,
yes.
And then we make that decision.
Yes, yeah.
I can't think of many things that we, these 5 of us, would bring to the table that's over 30 grand off cycle.
Well, let's say it's something a little different than that where, a staff brings us 3 options or something, mm-hmm. maybe. Fine, but what if it's something that we need to initiate? We need to keep that responsibility. I don't think we've been, overburdening staff with this. I think this is more of a technicality. I think we should not, I really don't think we should approve
it. It's a safeguard is what it is. It's a safeguard. Yeah.
I'm fine with it.
You're fine with it? Okay. I'm not going to lose on this one.
I don't know about that, but I'm fine, that's right.
Okay, so this was the only...
But I don't think we should give up our authority.
Okay, this was the only item that we had 12A that was discussed. So is there a motion to accept 12A?
Can we do that if we're in disagreement on something?
Yeah.
On one portion of it?
Okay. You want to make a motion, Gary? You have a right to make the motion if you want.
We'll make a motion not to approve it.
No, you can say that you don't approve that section of it.
I make a motion that we don't approve item 2.5 on page 10.
Okay, and the rest is acceptable, right? That would be
yes.
part of your motion?
Yes.
Okay, is there a second?
I'll second that.
Can I make a subsequent?
Sure.
To accept 12A as is.
Okay, is there a second for that?
I'll second that.
Okay. Is there any other? You guys got one more shot. Anybody want to do it? Okay, then, Madam Clerk, please read the substitute motion, and we'll vote on it first.
Substitute motion was by Councilmember Taylor, second by Councilmember Vann, to approve item 12A, striking sections 2.5 on.
No, we have to take the substitute motion first. I'm sorry.
The substitute motion is motion by Mayor Tim Ramirez, second by Councilmember Warren, as proposed by.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead, call roll, please.
I'm not sure what I'm voting on.
Okay, well,
voting on approving items as recommended.
My motion's on the table right now.
Okay, I understand.
Would you read the motion for the council, please?
The The motion is, a recommended action is to find this item not subject to CEQA and adopt resolution number 2022-43 approving the City Council rules of order as is. And we have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Ramirez, a second by Councilmember Warren. I will now proceed with a roll call vote. Councilmember Taylor?
No.
Councilmember Warren?
Yes.
Councilmember Van?
No.
Mayor Pro Tem Ramirez?
Yes.
And Mayor Schauer?
No.
Oh. Thank you. I didn't see that one coming.
Okay, now we go to the original motion, please.
The original motion is by Councilmember Taylor, which is approves this item, is not subject to CEQA. Adopt the resolution number 2022-43 with the item on section 2.5, page 10, stricken from the rules of order.
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor? Councilmember Warren?
No.
Councilmember Van?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Ramirez?
No.
And Mayor Schauer?
Yes. Okay, we're now moving on to oral communications. The reason why I asked Mrs. Ethans to stay, she is chairman of the Americanas Foundation Committee for the upcoming awards. And we, as a committee, have finally selected a honoree. And so I just wanted you to have the honor of making the announcement because you're co-chair of that committee, please. Come on up here. Thank you. Yeah, I want you to make the first public announcement because it's been, he accepted and it twist both his arms, but he's very excited about it, and it's well deserved for the many things he's contributed to over the years, so that's great. Joanna, yeah. I wanted to thank you for all your work over the years on this too, Mavis. That was, I think we're going to have a great one this year, so thank you for that. Okay. Is there? No, yeah. You guys can go home now. Thank you.
Thank you.
Unless you want to stay, because we only got a few more minutes, but yeah. By the way, I forgot to open all communications, but I am. So what you said doesn't count. So I'm just teasing. Is there anyone else that wants to address the council? Please come forward or forever hold your peace. Okay, we have any written communications?
We have none.
Close that. Okay, we're now moving on. We have no written communications. Do we have any mayor, chairman, council, agency-initiated business? We have any reports or authority announcements?
Oh, yeah, the car show. We have the car show. And thank you for attending. Mayor Pro Tem.
This guy right here.
Mayor Pro Tem Rigo Ramirez. And also Hannah was there, as well as many other folks. So it was a very successful car show. I think it's probably... like, we had a two-year break to start our first time doing it after such a long break. We were really concerned about the turnout, but it turned out really well. Everyone, and Another announcement I have is Foundation, along with five other organizations, are partnering together to provide a free for the community, and that's going to be on Saturday, October 8th at Stanton Central Park at 10 a.m. And this is a service that's completely free to the public, and there will be translators as limited. And I want to thank, you know, the Public Law Center, Asian American Advance Justice, as well as Community Health for being successful. I'm really excited to provide this service to the community. I know it's very much needed. And the topics that we're going to cover things like addiction, family issues, healthcare coverage, government benefits, workers' rights, wage claims, bankruptcy, domestic violence.
Any other announcements? We had a very successful food drive this last weekend. We actually got rid of everything except a few pastry doughs, but that was because we didn't quite pass them out the way that I suggested we do it, but we did good. We also gave away a lot of hand sanitizer and this phone sanitizers. I think our hottest item, though, was chicken legs this time, so it was good. And we did have almost 23 pallets of vegetables and fruit, of which there was none left. You know, it's really getting harder because food is getting in such short supply. But I think that it's nice because Zinnia passes out our flyers to the people that we have registered. And it's nice to see the people that, you know, that come here going through my line. So it works out really well. We also serve a lot of the local churches and community centers, which is good too. So anyway, thank you for giving me, letting me put Stanton on the flyer. That's pretty cool. And other than the fact that I had a volunteer take the forklift and hit the rail of the gate on Saturday, so I get to fix it for the second time, we did have a great event, and the park is pristine. As the Boy Scouts say, we left it better than we found it. So anyway, thank you for all that. I didn't lose the bathroom keys in here, so that's good. There's hope for me. Okay, that's about
it. Did you get you a porta potty yet?
No, we used the bathrooms out there. But I do want to thank Jim. Please thank your staff for parking your car there with your lights going on, so that they would, because I wanted the Boy Scouts and the ladies to be safe going to the restrooms there. And since I paid $180, it was my bathroom. Okay, any other announcements? Okay, anything for a future study session? Okay. How about a future meeting? Okay, how about defense wiring? Go ahead, City Clerk.
Mayor, item 15D is a City Council initiated item. Discussion regarding the use of defensive wire along storm drain channels. At the September 13, 2022 City Council meeting, Mayor Shaver requested that this item be agendized for discussion. Mayor Shaver is requesting to dispense the use of defensive wiring along the storm drain channels within the city. Robert.
Oh, thank you. Let me give you a little bit of history of the storm channels. I've worked very closely with the county over the years. Their director, or the one that we call to all the time, his name is Vincenzo Ciacia. And actually, they took my first suggestion, which was to put the black fencing, the real black. Okay, that was my idea. So they have that all over the county now, and it's very, very effective. Some of our business owners over the years that are along the storm channels have put up a defensive wiring. And as soon as they put it up, it has totally eliminated the problem with transients or anybody that wants to live down there or hop over and rob you or, you know, just about any of that stuff. And so I think that the proof is in the pudding. It's interesting because I actually have videos of people coming over in different locations, like Mr. Yule's over there on Catella. Over there, the bad part was over by our new power plant, W Power. And then, of course, recently we put it along the back of, or it was put in the back of the restaurant over at on Chapman and Beach, and of course at our new senior care facility. all the videos show that once the wiring went up, nobody came over the fences anymore. And so we do have a regulation about where we can put it in our city. However, I think these are different times with different problems, you know, and at this time, it's been a real burden on the city and the county. In other words, if people can get in easily, what they do is they camp there, but then they leave all their trash in the storm drain. As an example, the storm drain over off of Western had been cleaned out four times by the county, and I begged them to do it the fifth time, because after a while, the stench goes into the where the people live. I found that, again, not only is the block fencing, but the Constantine or the defensive wiring has been very successful. I'm in the process of getting a letter from the county supporting this also, which they've already kind of stepped up the plate, but I want to get it in writing. Also, I think that as far as having it, I mean, to me, it's not an eyesore in some areas, because when you're driving 60 miles an hour down beach or going down Catella where these storm drains are, you don't really stop and say, oh, there's some dangerous wire there. Although it's something that in order for us to do it, we have to have the approval of the city council. And that's why I'm bringing it forward to you tonight. To me, it's just something that we have to use to get through this period of time. I also had a chance to talk with our public safety director, and he fully supports this. He thinks it would make his ability to have to keep going back to the same areas over and over again. It reduces costs to the city, to our maintenance people, and of course to the county. We should be doing other things besides cleaning storm channels, the debris that are left by people that hop over and sleep in it. And it's kind of funny, because every time we clear an encampment, you think that they're going to take all their stuff out with them. You know what they do? They walk over to the edge of the storm channel and they kick it in, and it just piles up there. And as long as we have this, you know, it's not unique just to Stanton, but at least we can keep our areas clean, which I think is important. So that's pretty much what I like to do. And if we can move forward with, you know, getting that taken care of, I would appreciate it very much.
So this is barbed wire?
Well, there's two types. They have a razor wire, which is less high. It's, in other words, it has it on both sides. The old cowboy stuff is like barbed wire. That's where it has a little twist in it. And then they also have the new one where it's the big circular one that they just run along. And it, yeah, so those are the three types that are used by the people. Mr. Yule's has, the one behind the restaurant has the circular wires. Mr. Yule's has the barbed wire. And some of the older people that just happen to be on the storm channel have the old three-layer wiring.
Is this under $30,000?
Well, we're not paying. Well, first of all, it's not going to cost us a penny.
Okay.
If the county probably is going to start putting it up. But I think that the fact is that most of the fencing runs parallel to the fencing that the county puts in. So what it is, you got a fence here, you got a fence here, and you got the wiring here. There's nobody's going to go over it anymore. And so, you know, if we can live with the fact that we have, I mean, we can pretend like we're in Oklahoma and, you know, keeping the cattle in. I don't know. Yeah, go ahead, Gary.
Do we have any liability of somebody climbing and getting
no.
hurt or anything?
No, we don't, because number one, it's the responsibility of the property owner who has put it up at that point.
Who would be the property owner? Would it be
whoever has a fencing along the storm channel? Like, I can tell you who they are right now. Yule's Materials, Orco Block, the Pallet Place on Monroe, a Woman Power, that area back there. Then we have areas over here. OCTA, that property along that channel. Then the people would be the county owns some of the area on the far end, but there's all that private properties back there. So, you know,
So this is just something the property owners are doing, or could do?
Yeah, we're not doing it.
We're green lighting it if they want to do it.
Oh, I misunderstood.
No, we're not paying a penny. And if the county wants to come in and do it, then they can do it too.
Is this being adopted by any other city?
Let me ask Jim, he knows. Jim, are other cities putting any of this stuff up or what?
We should also ask our community development director because she'll be more aware of municipal code allowances per plan.
According to rules of conduct, we're supposed to ask the city and no staff members.
Mr. Wren.
Mayor, members of council, I thought you deferred to Ms. Lilly. Is that still accurate? It's definitely something we could look into. I have seen it in use in greater frequency in different areas. I know there's particular areas that it's approved while trying to maintain some aesthetic, but that's not necessarily my my specialty then.
Ms. Lilly.
So we haven't done extensive research to survey all of the cities. The early research that we've done at this point in time for municipal code standards, most of our Orange County cities do not allow razor wire, barbed wire, or Constantine wire. There are other types of defensive fencing. Often you'll see kind of tubular fencing that has the pokey ends, for lack of a technical term of what that's referred to, that can be used and accomplishes the same thing without the look and feel of a Constantine wire or razor wire. That's often done with bougainvillea or other kinds of defensive landscaping that also provides some of that change. So in communities where we see that the code doesn't allow for the defensive wire that's being spoken about tonight, there are some alternatives. But again, this is just our initial research, and I couldn't say of our 32 cities how many allow and how many do not, but we're happy to bring back that information.
And for
go ahead.
The mayor and the council members' edification, in our current municipal code, we do allow barbed wire in the general industrial zone. Won't be that current.
The other point that I'll bring up too is that a lot of the cities don't have storm channels. There's only a certain storm channel pattern. Unfortunately, we have a storm channel that runs all the way to the river. So I think it's the San Gabriel River that goes right on down to the bay and Huntington Beach. So it goes from there all the way through our neighboring city. Then it goes across goes across Western, goes all the way down across Beach Boulevard, all the way down to the end of the Caltrans property, behind Mule's property, all the way down Mule's property, and then all the way down past W Power, and it just continues right on down. So we have, per capita, we have quite a bit of storm channel compared to other cities, and it's all continuous. But the good news was is when we had that spill in the bucket of oil and the paper said that we were contaminating the bay, and it went 13 feet, it's good sometimes to have a long storm channel as we do it. So, you know, I think that what we have, most of the people have already put it up, and it's working. And I haven't received one complaint from anybody that it's up. Although I will compliment our code enforcement and our city development staff that they have identified it, and they have made the people aware of the fact. But again, the reason I'm bringing it here is because I think it's a time that we need it. This last weekend, as an example, we had a huge influx, just a monster influx of transient people. They came in over the weekend, and they've been here for the last 3 days. And a lot of them are beginning to set up their encampments along those, wherever they can put them. The new thing is to put up a tent, even if you're an individual, and kind of spread yourselves out. So it seems like there's a lot more in the city than we've had recently. That's attributed to the fact that probably the weather's great, it's nice to camp outside, and our neighboring cities still do not have what they have in order to take care of their transiency problem. They don't have it in place yet, and they're still a long ways off. So naturally, they chase them down to Stanton. Here we are. The crossroads of vacation land. Yes, Carol.
So we have in place our
In the industrial zone.
In the industrial zone. Do we need to expand that to the people that live along the water channel?
My recommendation is that we do not allow it anywhere except along a storm channel. We do not allow it anywhere else in the city that it's not suited for. Like, if somebody wants to protect their property, then they'd have to conform to the guidelines that are in the code. What I'm recommending is that anybody that has property adjacent to a storm channel, if they're allowed to put it up, and limit it to that. And, you know, right now, a majority of the people already have it up on that storm channel, so I don't think we'd be adding a lot of others. The only thing is that some people are not in quite an industrial or commercial zone to do that. Yes, Terry, go ahead.
It's some of the, well, there is fencing on the channel. Is that county fencing that's there now, or are there two fences, one on private property and one on county property?
Well, the problem is that a lot of the fencing, the county only goes a certain far with their black fencing, because you can't do it everywhere. What they do it is mostly at the end of the roads and under the tunnels, right at that area. And then a lot of times past that, the fencing is very low, and so the property owners put it up because people hop over. As an example, all the activity in Stanton Park where they sell drugs, they go under Catella, were camping there, broke into Park Avenue. They ride their bikes. That's their highway to heaven. And what they do is they ride down there, they hop over the fence and either rob the mobile home parks or the neighborhoods. Because remember, the Catella Mobile Home Park and Park Avenue have that in the back of their area, and so does Orco Block. You know, so it's kind of a combination of there's not much residential, there's a little residential, but there's also a lot of commercial. And so that's just, the thing is, if you're gonna let the commercial people do it, and then all of a sudden you have a little bit of residential, and you don't let them do it, well then they just walk down and hop over. So if we allow it all along the storm channel, both for in those areas that are defined only, then it would be a continuum, and I think it would work better. Okay. But
I can support you on that.
Well, first of all, my fear is there's a lot of wildlife that, you know, like cats, you know, squirrels, you know, yeah, raccoons, even, you know, whatever. But they're gonna get caught.
Okay.
That's not gonna be great.
Alice,
either.
We haven't had a dead animal get caught in Constantine anymore since I've been in the city, because you know what? They're smart enough to just walk down the storm channel.
I like the idea that she said that, you know, you can use plants.
And Mayor and Council, if I can clarify one thing from our existing municipal code, if the Council's desire is to just expand the use to additional areas, there is a provision in there that the barbed wire, as defined currently in the municipal code, cannot be used along lot lines that are visible from Beach, Western, Dale, Orangewood, Catella, or Cerritos, and that used on any other lot lines that's visible from the street, you are allowed to put in barbed wire and then additional screening. Just in case the council makes a motion tonight, I wanted you to be aware of what the municipal code says.
Let me ask you a question. Those are all arterials, right? Those are mostly our arterials. So most of the traffic on arterials are going 60 or 50 miles an hour. So I don't think they're going to notice it. That's number one. Number two, again, it's just a matter of, do you want to complete the circuit? Because right now we have Constantine wire everywhere in the city, and so by adding it to the few vacant areas that need it, it will just help secure the storm channel. I don't think we have to add very much. It's just a matter of, do you want to allow some of the residential or the non-industrial use people to do it? Okay, as an example, they were stealing catalytic converters in the apartments behind St. Polycarp and that side of the Crystal Restaurant. So the guy went up and got the big rolls of Constantine wire, and now they don't steal catalytic converters anymore. I mean, it's a sign of the times. You know, I'm just offering this because it's a way to reduce the cost to the city for cleanup and for the city not to have to use, you know, our personnel. I mean, it's easier not to have an encampment because it's harder to get into an encampment when you have that up there. But if it's open, it's easy to get into, then they're going to put it. Hey, look, it's they go to the least resistance.
No, I'm comfortable with this. I do have a question for the city manager. Let's say we go in this direction. How hard is it to claw it back? Let's say we go in this direction, all of a sudden there's wire everywhere, and we're like, bad idea.
No, because if we're going to take it on, I think one of the recommendations I make is we do it on a case-by-case basis. If it's to finish a continuum along a storm channel, I think we should allow it. But if some guy wants to put it around his backyard so that nobody sneaks into his backyard off the railroad right away, that's an example of one where I don't think it can be used.
Yeah, so clawback?
We would have to amend the municipal code initially to allow it, and there would be an education process then. Like the mayor referred to, we have noticed all the businesses who are currently illegally utilizing it. So if we were to decide it wasn't a good decision, we would amend the municipal code again. And then we would have to send out letters to all the areas that have it, letting them know that the municipal code has been amended. They have X number of days to remove the wire.
And you know, one of the other things I think is, I think Jennifer came up with this. I think also for some that are closer to this, I mean, most of these are off the right of ways. But if, let's say, if you are near something, then maybe there's some kind of screening that could be put up. I don't think that's asking too much. As long as the screening isn't something that a person can hop over, but I think some kind of screening would be also acceptable. I think that would be something we could take a look at also.
Okay. So what's the direction?
Go ahead, Carol.
So how many homes are we talking about, 50, 100?
Okay, I can tell you just off the top of my head. We have the school that abuts up behind Stanton Park. That's one. We have Stanton Park. We have the Plaza Pines Mobile Home Park. We've got housing. I think more down towards Gary's area over there, between Western and Knott, before it becomes the city of Cypress. We have the brand new memory. My future home over there on Catella, I mean on Beach and Catherine. That's that whole complex. Plus, there's a housing tract behind that, and there's houses behind that, which is all of the houses that are in the over there off of what's in that street over there. You know where Catherine bends around? Yeah, that area right there. That we have Premier Park there. So that area with another mobile home park there. And then it runs into the unincorporated area. And then from there it goes down and around. So, I mean, it's quite a network. We are, even though we're only, 3.5 square miles, if we take away all of the railroad tracks, all the storm channels and everything, we're really a very small city.
Yeah, there's an arterial.
Yeah, well, you got the people living in the mobile home park behind the new 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You got the new housing tracks going in on both sides that abut the storm channel. One of them being the new story 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Then you got the development going on the other side, taking the place to Share My Coach, which will all be housing. So I mean, you got a lot. We're going to have a lot of housing there that's going to abut against the storm channel. So.
Need a motion?
Motion and receive consensus for staff to move forward in the process of creating a staff report and bringing back options discussed to council for approval or discussion.
I'll make whatever you just said.
Do we have a second for consensus
second.
To move forward?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none?
But one of the things in the staff report, because I think Jennifer is very good at this, is to come up with some kind of creative fence screening that we might be able to come up with. It's not going to cost an arm and a leg, but it's not going to deter from our intent of keeping people that don't belong hopping over from doing it. but also it's something that we could put maybe at the ends of the end where it can actually, where it could be visible from a public right of way. Okay, thank you. All right, we're now moving on. We just finished 15D. Items from the city attorney.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. I have no items.
Okay, did you talk about AB, was it 2449?
The item on the ground. There have been changes, Mayor and Council, to teleconferencing. It still keeps in place AB 61, so under the Emergency Act, City Council continue the teleconference. However, it does provide some exceptions to teleconferencing to allow for emergency exceptions. So council members can necessarily post on their door, right, their residential place that, you know, there's teleconferencing emergencies are fine. The statute will be providing updates to council as we impact that.
I just want to say,
yes, Honorable Mayor and council members, I am so excited to introduce to you tonight, for the first time, our new Public Works Director, Cesar Manjel. And if you would like to, I'm sure, give him a pin and give him a chance to introduce himself.
Okay, Alice, you go get him. Alice is the first to move.
Right, get him up.
Watch out, when she gets pinned, she wants something done.
If you just want to say a few words.
Good evening, Mayor, members of the City Council, staff, Cesar Manjel, Director of Public Works. I'm excited to be here and excited to work with the City Council and staff to help the community of Stanton. So thank you very much.
Welcome.
Thank you.
If you could possibly give us all your email, we would appreciate it very much. And your secret phone number.
Although that's a no.
But we will never bother you unless
that's
we
a no.
We will never bother you unless we talk to Hannah first.
That's right.
But if the sky's falling, we won't be able to get a hold of you, okay? Okay, now we're going to go to tonight my favorite group, the Orange County Sheriff's Department. Chief, wow. It's your night.
You know he's still there, right?
Oh, I thought he left already. Hey, look, we are.
That's right.
I'm out of here.
Look, you already got your proclamation. Give me a break.
I'll remember that.
Oh, yeah, don't come to my house when it's burning down, okay?
Okay, good evening, Mr. Mayor, City Council. Tonight I'll be covering the August stat data for the Stanton Police Services. We had a very busy August. Stanton deputies responded to 1,353 calls for service. That's about an average of 45 per day. When they weren't being assigned calls for service, they observed 466 violations of law, and they acted on them appropriately with citations, warnings, and also arrests. Deputies made 72 arrests. That's 14 more than the month of July. And again, there was a lot more calls for service. There were 22 felony bookings, 11 misdemeanor bookings, there was 11 warrant arrests, one DUI booking, and deputies issued 27 misdemeanor citations. Stanton deputies also issued 58 traffic citations. We're still at a low number with that. Patrol is currently helping out our current motor deputy. He's still in rehab. He's having a hard time gripping the motorcycle as well as his firearm. There was a little bit more damage than they thought, but he just went this week to the doctors. It was actually yesterday, and got some pretty good news. So we're hoping that he'll be back the first part of the month of October. That's as of now. He's very eager to get back to work because he's doing a lot of the jobs at the station that he really doesn't want to do. So he's looking to get back to the street as soon as he can. So, like I said, I'll definitely. Keep the city council, kind of updated on him. Our gang unit, we actually arrested one gang member for the month of August. That brings us to a total of 19 in 2022. For the enforcement part of August, there were no homicides, there were no rapes, there were 12 robberies, 15 violent assaults, 17 burglaries, 38 thefts, 10 stolen vehicles, There was one arson, and one of the biggest things we saw this month, we actually took 13 firearms off the street. That's one of the biggest since I've been here. We're seeing a lot more ghost guns and a lot more firearms that we're coming in contact with, both on calls for service and also on several of the car stops. Going on to investigations, Stanton investigators, they got given 156 total cases. They're currently, they've got 80 open cases between two of them, which is very high. They also have closed 78 cases, this month, which is very good. So I'm very happy with both of them. We have a lot of movement coming up here, and there's potential, and I'll let the city council know as soon as I can, there's potential we may be losing one or both of our investigators to different details throughout the sheriff's department, so I will keep you guys updated on that. Something different this month, I wanted to cover our special enforcement team, just some history on them. It's a two-deputy car. Each deputy has a very high work ethic. This car is not given assigned calls for service, but their enforcement is based on observation based. And they've also been recently, kind of given certain assignments by me pertaining to the different activity throughout the city. So they drive an all black car. And like I said, their major focus is the observation arrests. So this is what they've done just for 1 month. They've arrested 15. Seven felonies, nine misdemeanors. They've issued seven citations for public nudity, as well as for possession of narcotics. They've contacted 14 homeless people, which they've all denied services. They've contacted 19 prostitutes, as well as they've arrested two pimps, which is, for the human trafficking side of the equation, is really, really good. And it's something that carries a lot of time in state prison. So that was a really good job by them. They've seized 4.5 ounces of meth, 17 grams of fentanyl, and 36 grams of ecstasy. They've recovered two firearms themselves, as well as one stolen vehicle. So as you can see, they've been very, very busy. They just told me this today, that they're doing their very best to try to reduce the crime for Stanton, which I thought was a pretty big statement, for two deputies just, to make to me. I'm very proud of them and how dedicated are to that, to that particular car. Our response times, our priority one calls, 4 minutes, 16 seconds. That's about, it's about 16 seconds slower from last month, but we had a rise in priority one calls this month, much more than last month. So that's why that's up just a little bit. We're still one of the lowest throughout the county of Orange. So I'm still very proud of that. But we did lower the priority two calls for service. We're at 15 minutes and 38 seconds, which is down from 1643, so we're doing a much better job with that. We're also down with our priority three calls for service as well. So I think the nice part is we're fully staffed. You may be losing some bodies here coming up here with regards to promotions to investigator and to sergeant, but our the calls for service and our response times are very good. With regards to our homeless work in our outreach, we are in the process. I saw that one of our homeless liaison officers had all the training, but a lot of the deputies, kind of in the field should have the same training. They're in contact all the time. And so I questioned why we didn't have the training for all of them as well. So that's something that we're going to be changing. So we're going to start to identify our entire force. We're going to send them to the additional training so that at the end of the day, the 23 deputy sheriffs, who are assigned to Stanton will all have the same training as the current homeless liaison officer. That way, if we ever lose him to somewhere, it's not just one, it's now all 23. So I think that's something I'm kind of excited about. The one part that our staff is looking forward to is we are going to be doing another homeless outreach session in the month of October. I'll be sending the city manager, the board, Jim the operations plan in the near future. And that's where a couple months ago, we did it and we got all those people into services. So I think that's another, kind of a fun outreach for us to do. We're going to be probably doubling the size of that now that we've done some cost saving measures with regards to the budget and regards to overtime. We're looking forward to, kind of reaching out to them and we, kind of get some more people to our city to help out with that. Half's going to be on overtime, half will be on straight time. And then we also, then I'll also have double the reserves as well. So there's a much more kind of push for it. We've noticed that the there is an increase in homeless here that we've seen from last month, and so we will kind of want to do some proactive work on that. So the operation plan is come. We should get it to you guys next week. All right, for the community update, our National Night Out was a big success for the Sheriff's Department. I got to brag a little bit to some of the other contract cities and some of the other chiefs. We had a lot of resources here. We had a lot of, great interaction, I think, with the community. Some of the pictures and some of the conversations with our special enforcement teams, our bomb squad, our canine unit, our SWAT team, was how great all the little kids were. So that's something that we want to make that a big event every year for the city of Stanton. So this next brings to my last part, and I know that there went emails out today. Throughout the past several months, I've been monitoring all the complaints and the illegal activity at 8222 Star Street. And today I wanted to inform the board that I drove out there myself, and I took my staff with me. I contacted Jim to bring his staff as well. Kind of had enough of it, and so I wanted to see it myself so I could report to the board on the stuff that we saw and the enforcement that we took and where we stand as of tonight. So we contacted the property owner and told him he needed to respond to the site. He actually came from the city of Huntington Beach. He showed up and the property owner told us that he had not given permission to anyone on the property to be there. And with that, there was one of the people there showed us some makeshift lease agreements, stuff that didn't have the right addresses, stuff that was, he said, well, I got this lease from this person and then from this person and so forth. Once we showed him that those that didn't exist, they had the wrong address on them, the property owner said, I never gave anybody any consent and I want everybody removed. We had 25 people come out of two structures, which was a stunner to us. We had between 5 to 6 truckloads of their property that they took by themselves. It wasn't us. They took it. And then Jim was nice enough to, facilitate the storage of several of the items, for some of the individuals that didn't have anywhere to go. One thing that we did, we offered, we actually had, some outreach there. We offered services to all of them, and we got denied from all 25, which we weren't shocked on that. So at the end of the afternoon, there was no one left on the property. The numerous truckloads of the property have been taken. We had the property owner bring a gate because there was no gate there to lock it. So he brought a gate there. They actually locked it, and the lock can be accessed by all the sheriffs, as well as Jim's team. The two structures, they were also red tagged, extremely dangerous, and not just for this, for us, but for everybody who was living inside of there. So those are red tagged. And I've instructed my staff to do drive-bys to make sure no one goes back. We have a current a trespass letter on file. And so in that regards, nobody should be at that address. Like I said, there was, I think it was a first major step for us. And again, I was glad that I went out there. I was able to get on, kind of the fun part, I got on the radio. And I think once the deputies heard to Charlie 20, go on scene. Here comes multiple units, and so it was kind of nice to see that. Complete teamwork, I think, from our two shops, which was nice to see. And then the property owner, he's ready currently. He told us, I know he told Jim, that he's ready to, kind of demolish those structures, wants to rebuild the same, and again, this is what he just told us, wants to rebuild and put up some of the same townhomes that are right behind the wall. So we're, as from a sheriff's department standpoint, that area is extremely dangerous. If we can get those things demolished, that is going to reduce all those people that go there. On a side note, and I know I'm kind of taking, kind of a while, the paperwork that was presented and that was determined out of date, we took pictures, we booked that into evidence. We also booked in pictures of the red tag as well as the no trespassing sign. So like I said, we covered all the bases that we possibly knew to do. And so from the sheriff's standpoint, again, we're kind of stuck now just waiting to see if those, like I said, if those structures come down. So that's where, like I said, he's told me he was going to be working with the city to try to move forward on that. So like I said, it was a very good day today. I know some of us are sunburned, but it was a good day for us. Again, I'll say it again, I was astonished at the trash, how many people came out of there, 4 dogs, 2 cats, and 25 people out of 2 little structures, probably not even as big as this room. So it was shocking. But like I said, we have a briefing memo that's currently in place, as well as the trespass letters that we're going to be briefing all sides of the week on to do drive-bys to make sure nobody goes in there. But the power is off. And so I'm hoping now that some of our fireworks and some of our illegal activity maybe can cease for the time being until those structures can't come down. But at this point, that concludes my presentation. I'm glad to answer any questions.
On behalf of District 1, I thank you.
Yes, sir.
And a certain Mr. You-Know-Who thanks you.
Yes, sir.
Pretty good day.
Thanks.
I just want to give you an anecdote that I had about 3 weeks ago. About 8 o'clock at night, I went over to the Walmart neighborhood market to buy a couple of things, and two of your sheriff's vehicles pulled up, and there was a guy sleeping in the cart well where they keep their little shopping carts and stuff like that, but I assume it was like a deputy and maybe a sergeant, but they went around, talked to the guy, rounded through the parking lot, got him to move on and everything, and then I saw him go across the street and pretty much do the same thing, at least make their presence known to the people at Rodeo 39. So just that kind of police work on the ground like that is just so fantastic. So thank you so much for that.
Well, we've done a thing where we're trying to push for, with the staff I have now, that team camaraderie, that team concept, that team support. There's no I in team. I'm a former athlete, so we're really want to make sure that we kind of push that, I think that narrative, but also trying to reach not just the criminal clientele, but also I think our community as well as our I think the best thing that we get to do sometimes is with the kids, with the young adults that we get to talk to, because it's not all about just us enforcing the law. It's also about kind of a team concept, not just with the sworn staff, but also I think with the community. So we're really pushing that out there for our newer deputies to get out of their cars, to look at big picture and to, make good contacts instead of just taking everybody to jail.
Well, thank you very much.
Welcome.
Thank you, Chief. That's probably why we had an influx of interesting people in the city, so now we know where the source was, probably. I think we had 30 homeless at our last count, and so when you have 25 added to it, it becomes very prevalent, so.
And I think that was the biggest thing that we tried, is we tried to get them to service. We actually had them there, and we were offering everybody, hey, look, we can get you services, we can get you housing, we can get you help, we can get you mental health. I mean, we offered everything, and it was the same response that we usually get.
Well, the reason is, as you know, and we all know, the activity that they're doing there
Correct.
He can't do it. They can't do it.
Correct.
If we were put him somewhere where they offer, there's no way. And they want that freedom to do their illegal activities, unfortunately.
Yes, sir.
But you know what? It's nice to know, because Jacaranda, the new, we built that, and it was a beautiful complex for the playground. And I think by you doing that, you've taken care of that whole Star Street development. They're very happy right now.
Yes, sir.
A lot of them have already texted me. So thank you for that.
Well, the nice part, too, sir, is that two of the residents came out and talked to us, thanked us for being there, got to meet me for the first time. They said, oh, yeah, we saw you on the website. So it was great to meet him. It was great to talk to him. And they kind of gave my two cents on what they were seeing. And I also gave them that they can be, you know, kind of on the lookout for that special enforcement team car. And they actually said, we've seen it a couple times driving up and down the street. And I was able to explain to them, well, they're there for you. So it worked out pretty well.
Okay, great. Any other questions? Also, please let the deputies know, because they're the troops, how much we appreciate what they did to take care of that, and also what they're doing citywide.
Yes, sir, I will.
Okay, no problem. Okay, at this time, is there any other business before the council? Staff? Good night to all. And to all, a good night.